Okay, you got your conference call being recorded, eh, Mike?
Yeah, it's recording right now.
Yeah, I just seen that.
Conference recording started.
Yeah, I just did mine. Let me see something here. I've got to. Okay. Anyway, well, let's see. It's about 8 o'clock, so we'll get started here in just a second. For those of you that in our group that don't know Michael Sparks, he's a direct jobber out of Middle Tennessee, I guess we'd call it, over in, Clarksville or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the one that got me started on these conference calls. I've been wanting to do something for quite a while, and he had already been doing them, so I kind of copycatted, and so we started this a little bit, and it does seem to have some benefit. And but anyway, just to go over it again, as far as if any of my guys have a question, remember to hit 5 on your phone and the asterisk, okay? Then I'll acknowledge you when I can, okay? But basically, I just had a few things I wanted to cover. And Michael, you know, if you got something you want to jump in, just let me know also, okay?
Okay, George.
Yeah, and we wanted to talk about a few things, a little bit about average, and I hope my voice holds out. I'm a little under the weather with some sinus problems right now, so I don't know how long I'll be able to go here. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the market or the advertising that AMSL is doing behind the scenes. I talked to Ed Newman today, which he's a director of marketing and advertising, I believe, and he's been with AMSL quite a while. And we had talked earlier, or I'd emailed earlier about these cheap synthetics, the article about opening the barn door to, or closing the barn door or something like that, to, time to close the barn door on synthetics, and I did, most of you out there have read that article, and exposing the synthetic oils that aren't really up to muster, so to speak, the ones these people that are cheating, really, they're actually cheating the system to make money, and it happens in every industry, and we're ripe for it right now because there's no regulation on what goes into a synthetic oil. So you can be beat up on prices if you're in the installer market, especially in quick lube market. You won't... most of us dealers that are dealing with individuals and that sort of thing probably won't get hurt with this type of, or you won't face the competition a whole lot, because most people we talk to and that we deal with that have a passion for overkill oil and that sort of thing and our type of oil, they're not looking for the cheapest oil to begin with. But in the business world of installer market and quick lubes, most of that does go on price, so we've had some competition, we've had some lost business, and with these people coming out with these oils that aren't even, not even in the closest context of really being a synthetic oil. And I had one of our large dealers in Kentucky call me, and he lost, at this time, he lost... a couple $1,000 a month account, not profit, but volume-wise, nice little installer market an account. And this guy's going over to Federated Auto Part Oil or something like that. I think it's Federated, but it's a relabeled product, just probably almost identical in definition to what this article's talking about. And because they're selling, he's going to get it for $347 a quart. Okay, and I think that's delivered. And so how do you compete against that? I ran this by Dean Alexander, and just to get his kind of thinking on it. And of course, they're going to write an article in the next Action News magazine about this very thing. And they're actually going to use part of my email as to address it. Now, I don't know if they're going to carry on a campaign to to get where, you know, because they told us not to talk about base oils, you know, talk about performance, don't get in base oil wars. And then here you got Penn's oil coming out right now. What are they talking about with their gas to liquid oils? They're talking about base oils. And the thing is, they don't even sell that oil in the United States. But Mobil or somebody will probably nail them on that later, and they'll be have to quit that kind of advertising if it isn't made to the made for us here in the United States. But at any rate, I hope AMSOIL is going to get on a campaign and try to exploit this situation somehow and help us out in the field. Now, I mentioned Ed Newman earlier. He is actually, and I was talking to him about different advertising things that AMSOIL is trying to do, and he just wrote an article for National Oil and Lubes. It's a trade publication that strictly goes out to the quick lube industry. Some of you may have read those or get that that newsletter, magazine, or whatever. But he's writing an article just strictly on this cheap imitation synthetic oils. So AMSOIL is listening, and I think they are going to try to. Of course, you know, when we lose business out there, they lose too, so they've got to do something. Now, I mentioned to the guy that brought this to my attention about as far as losing that nice account there in Kentucky. I asked him, I says, well, do the customers know that AMSOIL is being put in their cars? And he said, no. That's what do you mean, no? And he said, no, the guy doesn't have any signage. He doesn't want anything. He just, if they get synthetic, they're getting synthetic, and he's putting AMSOIL in them, the XL product. And I said, well, Jay, you know, there's no loyalty. The customers could care less then, you know. So that is, he's got to rectify that if he can. And he's got a good relationship with the owner, so he's still may be able to save this thing. But he's going to have to probably crunch some numbers, maybe offer him the OE oil, and or even possibly offer a dealership to the guy so he can get commissions back. You know, I mean, you hate to do that in a way because you're going to give your commissions out of your pocket to them, but it's also business that's going to go bye-bye if you don't try to get it back with some sort of leverage. Now, what I've mentioned here so far, does anybody want to comment because I don't want to sit here and just talk to myself in a way. Is there somebody that would want to add something to, Michael, what are you, you know the scenario I'm talking about, I think. You probably got a grasp on it. What do you think?
Well, George, maybe we could go over some of this history of, it basically started about, 1997, and actually, this is how I found out about AMSOIL, because I had been using Castrol Syntec in my 97 F-150, my pride and joy truck, my first brand new four-wheel drive truck that I ever bought. And I was, I really wanted to take care of it, so I thought, well, I'm going to put synthetic oil in it. And even back then, you know, there was Mobil 1 and really only Castrol Syntec. That was the only two that were on the shelf. And well, they both said synthetic, and Castrol Syntec was like $1.50 cheaper. You know, I'm going to use it this synthetic, and I had been using that for about 2 or 3 years when I discovered AMSOIL in about 1999, and I found out that Castrol oil wasn't a true synthetic. It wasn't based off of PAOs, polyalpha olefins, and ester-based oils. It was based off of this Group 3 based oil, which is really what it is. It's a highly refined mineral oil. I can remember some advertisements where they had the I think it was Petro Canada or something, where the oil was really, it was clear. It looked like, clear oil. That's how pure it is, but it still doesn't hold a candle to what the PAOs can do as far as performance. And when I found out about that, I thought, well, I've been duped, you know, in the marketplace. And ever since then, that marketplace has been sliding down. Mobil 1 has went on board with that. AMSOIL for the longest time said, you know, we will not use anything but PAOs. And even when the XL came out, George, in what, 2001 or 2 or so?
Actually, in the late 90s, actually.
Late 90s, and it was a full PAO, too. It just didn't have the extended drain additives in it because it was only good for 7,500 miles. And they said, well, no, we're not going to go this route with this, you know, cheaper synthetic oil. But the whole market really is flooded with this lower cost, so-called synthetic, that really, or what they are, is basically super fine, super refined mineral oils. And that's why we had to come out with the OE and come out with this XL. And our signature series and all of our motorcycle oils and the heavy-duty diesel oils are all PAO-based, but the OE line and the XL line and probably the small engine oil and the scooter oil, I believe, are all Group 3-based. Right, George?
I'm not sure on the scooter oil, the last two you mentioned. I'm not
Do you
really
think?
Sure.
I was just looking on price-wise. If you look price-wise, it's really in line with the small engine oil. And I just would guess by looking at it, it's probably a Group 3.
Well, yeah, I just never really thought about it too much. But you got to remember too, those type of oils are not going to, especially the small engine oil, is not going to require some of the, maybe the higher dollar additives that you're going to put in our signature series. And additives is quite a bit of the cost of that oil, too, you know.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day when we talked, just because the oil does, and they found out over time, this Group 3, it does perform, you know, pretty good, but if you're using the lowest cost additives, that don't hold up, they really know better than just regular old Group 1 mineral oil, right?
Well, in some situations, I guess you could make that argument, but you know that small engine oil. I mean, I'm not trying to. I'm probably getting off the tangent, off the topic a little bit, but I can't beat that oil up. I mean, I run it in diesels, in my tractors, my generators. I mean, and you can run it a couple hundred hours and look like you never even took it out. And I mean, it's never been even out of the can, even, you know, and it doesn't use any or nothing. It just keeps going on, so it's a daggone good oil, whatever they're making it out of.
Yeah, and you're right, and like you said though, that the additives that AMSOIL uses, they don't go and choose the least expensive additives that will just barely do the job. When they look at additives, and they're not bound by any one manufacturer of additives, they choose the best. They choose the stuff that's going to outperform and last longer and not shear and deteriorate and get used up in a short amount of time, so, I mean, I really think, I mean, Group 3 oils have a place, but, you know, this price war thing is just not going to bode well because, like you said, somebody that wants its oil changed for $3.43 a quart and, you know, there's no way we can compete on that and offer a quality product.
Right. Well, I check some spec sheets. Now, you got to be careful checking spec sheets, too. You know, one of my things that I would look at a lot of times, and see if it's real synthetic or not, is looking at the VI index, the viscosity index. And I read an article. I just happened to go back through Lubes and Greases the other day, and I opened up an October 2013 article. And they're pointing out, this one PhD did a bunch of studies, and he's pointing out that some of these, the testing methods they're using to, what would you call it, to make their particular spec sheet on VI is bogus. It's not really going to be a true indicator of how the oil can handle heat, okay? And we all know VI index is your rating of change in viscosity from heat. And of course, the higher the number, you always assume that it's going to it's going to change less in viscosity, you know, and be a much more thermal stable product. And but now this guy's throwing all kinds of different into the thing and into the mix, and now we've got to rethink that even.
So, yeah.
But anyway, getting back to and I lost my screen here somewhere, so I can't really monitor who's wanting to talk. But I'll come back on here. But at any rate, let me get back on subject here. I don't worry about the panel there. Okay, if anybody wants to say something about what Michael had just mentioned, I can't see your hand, but just say something and I'll acknowledge you, because we're really trying to brainstorm a little bit on some of this, and if anybody's got an idea that they want to share on that before we move on to something else, let me know. And anyway,
well, George, in this month, if you'll be excited to see September 2014 for Lubes and Greases, and it says Beyond Synthetic, and same guy, Thomas Glenn, wrote another article in there talking just about the very thing I'm just scanning. I haven't actually read it yet, but I just was looking at it because we're sitting here talking about Lubes and Greases while you were speaking. And he's talking more about the synthetics and how to test them, you know. And they said the first and most common answer is to send it to the lab, and they can test to see if it's a synthetic. But really, can they? They almost can't tell anymore. And then the second one, and if you draw a line, you know, how can we determine what is synthetic and what's not? And he says right here, secondly, if one draws a line arbitrarily in the sand, says synthetic motor oils must contain X percent group 3, 4, or 5 base stock, that would be muddied and very difficult to confirm by testing, you know. So really, even if it'd be hard to determine if they have to go in there, you know. I said a low-end group 3 are so small to elude even sophisticated testing protocols. So, and then he says also, for example, a group 2 base oil's viscosity index falls short of a group 3, viscosity index can be adjusted with the use of additives and our base stock correction fluid to reach the level of a group 3. So, I mean, even if they had a group 2 oil, you can't tell because they can, you know, go in there and mess around with that. So
yeah.
This looks like a pretty good little article here. I'm going to have to go over it. I'm going to get off the
line. One of our dealers pointed out about that guy, Tom Glenn.
Tom Glenn. Yeah.
Well, his website actually is sponsored by Royal Purple and Colmanet, and which owns Bellray and Royal Purple. And it could be possible he's being driven to point out these differences in cheap synthetics to maybe help his payroll from Royal Purple. Because
yeah.
Royal Purple and Bellray, those have always been real synthetics, you know. And I don't know if they'll ever change since they got bought out by Calumet, a big conglomerate that bought them out. And so maybe there could be some, you know, a lot of times you got to show me, you know, there's money behind some things. But anyway, well, we'll just move on. But I just was wondering if anybody had any ideas that we haven't covered as far as trying to get back a potentially lost account based on oil price. Now, I know Dan Watson, direct jobber in Florida, large dealer, he's got a lot of tire shops there in Central Florida called Gator Tire he has to fight this all the time because all these oil companies like Kendall and some of these other ones will come on with a barrel of oil $200 cheaper than RXL. And they just come out of the woodwork. They just keep coming. He's been able to fight it all along trying to keep AMSOIL in there, and they still move quite a bit of AMSOIL because of demand for AMSOIL because he's got it pretty well they know that AMSOIL sold there through banners and signage and that sort of thing, you know, and advertising. And he can keep a certain amount of business even though he's being attacked constantly with these cheaper oils. And so that's just part of the animal in that respect when people are just trying to sell oil on price. That's the only time we really have trouble with competition. With the informed group of people, consumers, we don't have that, you know, we have a good solid footing on that. And there's real no competition for us in that respect. Okay, if nobody's got something on that, if somebody's got a quick question, you use 5 and asterisk and hit the asterisk, and I'll acknowledge you before we move on. Hoping that AMSOIL is, you know, I think I've got them, me and probably other people too, looking at seeing what to do to help us fight this cheap oil deal, because I don't think nothing's going to get changed on that until,
Line muted.
Okay. I don't think we're going to make any headway in that in the industry on those cheap synthetic fake oils until the OEMs get behind it. And they're not going to get behind it until these cheap oils start causing them warranty issues. Now, this is just my opinion, okay? And because if in the oil market, we've been in it for going on 34 years, and I've lived and breathed this thing since 1981, and what I've seen from the American Petroleum Institute, that whole industry, is only driven from what they're forced to modify or forced to improve on. They don't seem to improve on their own unless they're forced to. And who drives that is the engine manufacturers, Ford, GM, BMW, you know, all these other companies. And I don't think until they get behind this that anything will ever happen on that. And then, you know, we looked at Dexos coming on last year, or maybe a year ago or so, I'm not sure. And they specified certain things that the oil had to have to meet their spec. Well, at first I kind of thought that might was market-driven, a way for them to make some more money. But now, you know, maybe I'm not so sure that they may have done that to help protect their warranties. Just a thought, okay? Because they knew about all these crappy oils out there, you know. Anyway, getting back to Ed Newman just for a minute. Talking about marketing and their advertising, that sort of thing. He was telling me, I asked him about the, if he knew anything about the free shipping. Well, I asked Dean about it, Dean Alexander, and asked him what was going on with that, if things are changing or looking, you know, meeting up their expectations. And he said, he basically sidestepped it a little bit, said there's still a lot of study to do in there yet, and kind of what told me is maybe because they're collecting data on everything, it might have told me that maybe this thing is not going as well yet. I don't know if Michael, if any of your people or yourself has received an increase in online catalog orders, the free shipping type stuff or not. Have you seen any change at all yet? I mean, we're only in it to it for about a month or two already is all. Michael,
I haven't seen a large. Can you hear me, George?
Just a second. I got to unmute Michael. Just a second.
Line unmuted.
I had you muted.
That's okay. I haven't seen a large increase of catalog customers coming through, and I've really been pushing that free shipping thing, and I don't know how many we'll take a look at it further, but then decide, hey, the preferred customer is still a better deal. I don't know. I mean, in just about all cases, unless you're ordering any orders over $100, it's still a better deal to become a preferred customer. So,
exactly.
I haven't seen anything on that as far as my customers.
Well, Ed Newman was telling me he was not really in the loop on that particular program, but he says that took 1 or 2 years of study before they ever pulled the plug on, or not pulled the plug, but pulled the trigger on it. And AMSOIL is so conservative that they really study things a long time. And now they've got people from outside the box coming in and contributing to some of these things that hopefully will work out for us. It's all about trying to support us out in the field, making us more money, and then in turn they make more money. But they're spending a lot of money on research right now, market research. They're on their website, for instance, they are they're trying hard to reduce the number of bounces that people come in and leave. They're working more on better landing pages, and we've got some people. One of our dealers here, him and his wife that are on right now, they're in that IT field, and they know all about this website kind of stuff, which I don't, you know. But it's very very important to people to find what they want right away, because that's just the way online stuff is anymore, you know. And so they're spending a lot of money and research and stuff trying to figure out the best way to improve the AMSOIL website and to reduce those bounces especially. And then they're doing more shows, you know, more presence at the larger shows, you know, like SEMA and some of them that they've done, trying to make more of a corporate image. And that helps everybody, I believe. I think it's all for the better for image building. And then they've got some really good deals with Motor Trend and Hot Rod and magazines. They've got some real good deals going with them right now, and more of that type of advertising. And I was glad that Ed said he's wrote an article in that National Oil and Lubes magazine that goes out every month. He told me that in '99, right after mobile lost the battle with I think it was 99, late 90s or mid 90s, whenever it was, he wrote an article on it into this Lubes and National Oil and Lubes magazine, and they wouldn't write it. They wouldn't publish it because he said it was too critical of the oil industry. And all he was trying to do was point out the problems, you know. And so I had a pretty good conversation with Ed. I've known Ed for a long, long time. He's been at our house when we lived at our house in Orlando a few times and visited us and so on and so forth. I see I got a hand up from Leo. Leo, let me you wanted to add something. Let me unmute you there. I can figure out it. Okay, Leo, you got something?
Yeah, George, you just real quick, you mentioned about the about bounce rates and things like that. That's stuff that's real important. I think that AMSOIL would do, maybe do really well to maybe start talking about that if they have a chance in some of their material out to the dealers. The reason I say that is, AMSOIL is encouraging all of us dealers who have websites to drive as much traffic to their site as possible. The problem with that is, for when you're looking at bounce rates, is as a dealer, if I have a bad website or a website that's, I don't want to say bad in a negative way, but a website that's presenting something to a person that's different than what they were searching for, that's going to basically really raise the bounce rate. So, and I'd be happy to, I'll do some searching and look for some links on how people can track and control that on their own website, and I'll send that to you for you to send out.
That's great.
It really would do good for all of us individual dealers too. The way the internet is going is, if you have a website and you have 10,000 people come to it in a week, and 9,540 of those people immediately click the back button, your website's going to get deranked. It's the organic nature of how search engines and all that work. So, I'll, in the coming weeks or so, I'll put something together and send it to you that you can send to dealers about that exact subject, because it's not really just an AMSOIL problem. It's every dealer's problem who has a website.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that. Okay.
But I have the other thing real quick, George. From my understanding on bounce rate, though, is when you have a dealer website and somebody would click on your website and then click to AMSOIL within 10 or 15 seconds or whatever, that's also considered a bounce. Maybe I'm right or wrong. I don't know. But so you don't know if somebody's clicking through your website to get to AMSOIL. That would give you a high bounce rate. You obviously, the two places where they teach us for a search engine thing is they want people to leave your website either from the shopping cart or from the contact page. That's the two pages you want people to leave your website. But you know, for us dealers, we're kind of stuck because we want them to click to AMSOIL and go buy some products. We don't want them to stay on our website all day long and you know, look around or whatever. We want them to go buy some products. So I think for an individual dealer, we're kind of at a disadvantage because we don't hold the end product. AMSOIL does. Maybe Leo can help with that.
Leo, what do you think about that?
That is true. There's anytime high bounce rates are a really bad thing, and so the search engines nowadays, you know, basically the robots and the way that they're looking at your website and everybody else's website, they're really building a lot of intelligence into that. So they're really able to track how you attracted a user to your website, and then they're able to determine if that user found what they were looking for. And if they think that that user did not find what they were looking for, they don't want to show your website to the next person who comes along searching for that same information. And they've gotten really, really good at doing that. What he mentioned is absolutely true. As dealers, we don't want people on our website. I want you to go to AMSOIL and buy something. So inherently, we're going to have higher bounce rates. But there are other ways that we can combat some of that too. And you know, George, that's something I'd be happy to, you know, start putting together, because we do quite a bit with SEO and that kind of stuff on our other stuff. I'd be happy to have one of your future upcoming sessions. You know, anything that I can contribute like that to help the other dealers. Just the simple free things that you can do to prevent your website from sliding farther and farther and farther down these search engines. You know, bounce rates is definitely one of them. But like I said, there's ways we can combat that as well. And there's really, really good tools out there to help the active dealers that want to maintain a successful website. There are a ton of free tools out there to help you do that. You just have to find them and do a little bit of figuring out on how to use them.
Yeah, well, how do us guys like me that don't do anything to my website? In other words, I'm not website savvy, and I'd have to get my webmaster to do these things. That's probably another issue.
Yeah, it is. You know, George, maybe... there's a lot of options for you too, right? So you can keep your main website, but maybe have a link off of that would have, let's say, a little blog site. Blog sites are tremendous for driving traffic. And if you set them up properly or go with some of the canned services, even some of the free stuff out there, it's really as simple as writing an email. You know, you're just clicking submit instead of send. That type of activity, the search engines love that kind of stuff. You know, I helped my dealer that I talked to yesterday just with some simple ideas, like, you know, make sure that, because he was making a comment about he noticed his Facebook pages, that if the more he posts, the more people he sees coming to it. And that's how these things work today. So on a Facebook page or a Twitter page or a blog site, if you're active on there consistently, you know, multiple times a week, and it can be simple stuff, your ranking gets better and better and better. You know, the other thing I suggested is Twitter, along with Facebook, along with a blog site, you can link all of that stuff together. And again, it's free stuff that you can do. So if you have a blog and you type up a little blog, you know, a little one paragraph or 20 paragraphs, whatever you want, you put it on there. When you click submit, it can send that over to Twitter. Twitter can send it over to Facebook. So really, you can update three different styles of reaching your customers and potential customers with just one button click. And again, most of this stuff out there is free. You know, there, of course, you can pay for it if you want, but we don't have to. You don't have to spend a lot of money to do this kind of stuff. I would encourage everybody to start thinking about a blog site and Twitter. I have Twitters for our businesses. I don't use them personal at all. I don't touch them. The only thing I do is when I post something to one of our business Facebook pages, it automatically goes to Twitter. So I'll just to give you an example, on our Twitter page, which I never visit, I have some big, big name companies that are followed us, that follow us and like us and actually respond to things because I mentioned them in a Facebook page. So, you know, Motor Trend and, Bully Dog Tuners, Gas Monkey Garage has made comments out back to me. That's free advertisement right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. Well, we can have a meeting sometime just strictly on all that stuff.
Yeah, I could. We could easily talk for an hour or more about some of that stuff. Like you said, George, I'll maybe start working on putting together a little outline to give to you,
okay.
And maybe put it in the cards for one of these future calls.
Okay, sounds good. Moving on, I just got a few other things I'd like to mention, and then we can open up to some more questions if we want, or call it a night. One thing, I have a garage I set up. It's called Rebel Diesels here in Tennessee, and they do quite a bit of diesel work, of course, a lot on the pickups, a lot of major things on these Power Strokes and Cummins and Duramax and that sort of thing. And they're setting up their whole, not their waiting room, but they've got a nice, really nice shop, and they got a big room like you'd put cars in it, you know, and they actually do have a few cars in it. And I'm trying to think of what you'd call it, but he's putting TVs in. Or monitors, and he asked me if I had any DVDs with AMSOIL. He'd like to show some stuff, and, you know, and I'm not even thinking about this, and that's why I want to bring it up. You guys may have some opportunities to use a couple of these little DVDs that AMSOIL has, like $5 or $6 a piece. How many out there have the trade show video or DVD? It's a G3216. If you can run it, write this down. You need to get this thing. It's pretty neat. It's got some really good testimonials in there concerning racing, okay? And that's a G3216. And then I pulled up another DVD because I'm trying, because he said he could piecemeal all these things together and I'm not piecemeal them, but put them together and make a nice long playing type of a DVD show, all on AMSOIL. And so I'm hunting for different things. And again, that trade show one, that's a continuous loop one there. And it shows snowmobile racing and motocross and the Torque series with Scott Douglas and then Eric Buell on there talking and about his motorcycles and his racing and that sort of thing and what drew him to AMSOIL. And then there's the sum of its parts. It's G2143, and that's a doggone really good DVD that I haven't looked at in probably 5 years, and it's been out for a while. And we've got so many good little tools we can use that we just forget about for some reason, us old-timers, I guess. But and this guy is pretty ecstatic about seeing these DVDs and the owner. And so with those playing in his showroom, yeah, I guess we'll call it a showroom, that may help sales a little bit. And all his workers really got a kick out of seeing these things and didn't realize AMSOIL was into all this kind of stuff. So I'm just bringing this out to you, just give me a tip to see if there's a way you can implement them into your business partners. Because we forget, you know, all those guys with these shops that we have and dealers, you know, they're all partners. And anything we can do to help them, and we help ourselves, of course. I did notice today that the EA 15K88 oil filters are now being sold again, and the ones that you may have in stock are okay to sell. So there's apparently a batch problem that AMSOIL had at the distribution level, at the warehouse level. So it wasn't anything that got out into the field for you guys with the that may be interested in that and stock those filters. I stock those filters. So we had to hold off. We couldn't sell them until AMSOIL got to the root of the problem. And today in the dealer zone, they mentioned that they're good to go now. And that's for the Ford Power Strokes, the 6.0 and 6.4 engines. Okay? Let me look here for some of my other notes. I noticed I wrote it down a little note here. I did a trade show the other day here in Pigeon Forge at a Jeep Club show, and they had 550 Jeeps there. It was a good show, and I was asked to come there and just kind of support my new dealer who has a Jeep repair shop. And so I went there and set up with the motorhome and put my tent up and did my thing. And I had more people take more catalogs than ever any show I've ever done before, and I don't have a clue of why that was. But I hope they turn out and actually do something for me. And I don't know if any of you that's done shows lately have had that same experience or not, but I really was, and it was good, too. They're old catalogs. I need to get rid of them anyway. But anyway, let's move on. I had a couple more notes I wanted to cover, and then open it up to Michael and see if Michael has anything he wants to add before we call it a night. One of the advertising studies they did, too, some of the best responses they're getting, I think we've seen this at the, they might have talked about this at the AMSL University training last May, I'm not sure, but they're in the Motor Trend magazines, especially. You'll see the ads AMSL has in there, and it's a change oil less often. That seems to be a nice soft term that's getting a lot of traction according to AMSL. And I've used that term a little bit myself, and just throwing things out. And I don't know if it's a winner or not, but it's a nice soft way because we're. Until you can find out if that person you're talking to is a prospect that wants to change oil less often or somebody that's quality-minded and doesn't care about oil changes. They just want to use the best product. And let me see if I got anything else here. DVDs. I was going to talk a little bit more about the VI stuff, but I haven't done enough study on that yet. I called Dan Peterson today, the VP of Tech Services, and he was out of the office. I wanted to get his take on that article or what kind of make a little more sense. There's a long article that PhD wrote, and I got tired halfway through it. So, hey, also I wanted to one other thing I needed to cover was how many, you know, if any of you have a shop you signed up and then convert them to a dealer later down the road, I hope you all know how to get that dealer where he can be on the dealer locator as a installer or a retail store. If you go into AMSL's dealer zone and go into the retail account information administration area, there's a PDF you can download and gives you all the instructions, and you fill out that information and get it into your regional sales manager. You fax it in. I think it goes to the regional sales manager. They look it over, and then they put it in his or hers dealer's own retail account information area, and then they have to go in and update it and then acknowledge it, and then it can go live once they've done 500 dollars worth of product or 500 cc's, whatever it is for dealers. Michael, you got something you want to add, especially for your people?
No, I appreciate everybody listening. One thing I wanted to comment on that the dealer that has a shop, that owns a shop, it used to be that you got to be listed twice, once as a dealer and then once as a shop. And I don't know if anybody can confirm this or not, but from what I understand, if you're now listed as a shop, they don't list you as a dealer anymore. Do you know if that's true or not?
I don't know if that's true, and I'm logged
in. I've got a couple of dealers that I know are T1 certified, working their business, and they don't show up. They only show up as a shop, but they don't show up as a dealer no more. And I guess I talked to my regional sales manager on that, and he says, "Well, they're not, they can't show up twice." So, well, they used to, and before when it was just the installer locator and then dealer locator, they showed up twice. But now that they got this other thing, that they don't show up twice. So, I mean, because I've got a couple Napa store. I got my one Napa store here that I made a dealer, and he's kind of active. He signs up some local accounts, and then he also obviously sells a good bit out of his Napa store, and he's only listed as a Napa store now, not as a dealer.
Okay, so. I'll tell you why, because I just checked right now one of my accounts in Orlando, and he's listed as a an independent dealer. And let me do a new search, and I think it's the Automotive Service Center also. Let me see. And Orlando, let me see. I'll confirm that for you here in just 1 minute as soon as I get
okay.
For his, I just ran out of stuff. They didn't run it over to his just a second. But he's listed both ways, I'm almost positive. And your guy might have dropped off because he hasn't met the criteria of having...
$500 over 6 months, maybe, huh?
Well, no. If he's still listed as a locator, as an installer, or an auto parts, I mean, that he's staying on that because he's bought enough, right? But if he didn't stay on as a dealer... He was pulled because he might not have signed up somebody in the last 6 months or has any downline. That might be the deal, okay?
Okay. Well, just confirm with me because I actually, Dan Gorski said that they don't get to show up twice now. And I thought, well, I've been recruiting people, business owners, just for that very fact that they do get to show up twice if you want. You know, I say, well, you can show up if you have your shop, but if you become a dealer and have your shop, I can make you show up twice. And from what I understand, they're not doing that, but maybe that's just one case. But I looked on a couple other ones, and I didn't see them listed too. So I mean,
well, they may be clearing that up, but I'm going to verify it right now. And no, my guy's listed both ways.
He's listed both ways? Okay. Well, then maybe I'm wrong. Good for me, then. I like to hear that. So.
Or maybe they're wrong at the, you know, some of these people you talk to at AMSL, not in all the loops.
Yeah. That's all I got for tonight, guys. I appreciate you letting us chime in there. And I was going to talk about what you were going to talk about tonight with the less expensive, the cheap imitations, or you want to call it synthetics, and I think you covered that really well. And I'm going to send out a copy of that in case you didn't get the lubes and greases, but just don't pass that around. Lubes and greases is really kind of weird about posting that stuff anywhere. They'll get you on copyright infringement. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, because I just sent mine through email is all I did.
Yeah, so don't post it anywhere in public. Just send it in email. That's fine. So.
Right.
But,
okay, well, I think that's about it for me. Has anybody else got anything that they want to discuss? If you do, say it now, and then raise your hand, and I will... unmute you. I'll unleash you. And I know Michael, his group is, he can't do that. So it looks like we'll go ahead and close out tonight. And we've been trying to, Michael, on our end, we've been trying to have our meetings last, you know, basically a half hour and then maybe go a little bit longer. And how long have you been running yours?
I shoot for 30 minutes. People's arms get tired of holding. Yeah, I've been shooting 30 minutes, and, you know, sometimes we're a little less, sometimes a little bit more. Depends what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, thanks for joining, Mike, and your contributions. And we'll say goodnight to everybody, and we'll see you again. And also, guys, if you've got questions and stuff, don't wait for a conference call. You know, make sure you get a hold of me and
hello, Doug.
Get stuff straightened out right away, okay?
Yep.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.